star. He's the lily of the valley, the fairest of 10,000. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He was from everlasting to everlasting. What a great and mighty God we have. I'm blessed again this evening to be here. And I certainly have an interest in your prayers as we continue in this service here this evening. On Monday evening, we talked on the subject of crying out to God and the importance of letting God control our life and crying out when we find ourselves in a problem or in a struggle. Also mentioned the importance of having Jesus in our heart, and sometimes we find ourselves in a problem and we run here and there and forget to seek the face of God. It's very important that we cry out to Him. On Tuesday evening, the title of the message was The Blood. The importance of having the blood applied to our lives if we want to reach heaven. And to get everything under the blood, not to remain with things hidden in our lives, but to clean up and to be right with God. Last evening, we talked about the vexed soul, one who is heavy and is vexed in his soul. And the danger of remaining in such a condition. This evening, the title of my message is An Answer of Peace. In Philippians 4 and verse 7, it says, And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. I cannot this evening express to you the degree in which these words are given, because it's beyond our understanding. I don't understand how we can cry out to God. Come to Him with our sins. Confess them and have peace. But that's what God does. We receive peace. Many people today, they fear to confess because they do not want their life to be exposed. But here it says that the peace of God passes understanding. I'm convinced this evening that there is not one person in this audience tonight that does not want to have peace. I can say that for a number of reasons. If you have no interest in having peace in your life, you probably wouldn't be here. We are seekers of peace. We like to live in an environment of peace. We don't like turmoil and we don't like to be in a position or a situation where that is very uncertain and uncomfortable for us to be in. We like to be in an environment of peace. We like to have that security in our lives. But the Bible promises us that we can have peace in the midst of turmoil. The peace of God is not contingent on the circumstantial problems and things we are that are around us. And I'm so happy, and I'm glad, I'm thankful, very thankful for that. The peace of God is that which rules in our lives, that even though we have a government that is falling apart, even though we have tribulation, even though we're facing hard times and difficult times in our life, there can be peace in our hearts. A number of years ago, I'm not sure if the billboard is still there, but in Holmes County, Ohio, if you travel State Route 39 towards Sugar Creek, for a long time there was a billboard that said, "No God, no peace. No God, no peace." The English language is an interesting language, isn't it? That billboard caught my eyes for many times. Every time I would drive through that area, it was there. I don't know if it's still there or not. It's been a number of years that I traveled that area of Holmes County. Nonetheless, there's a volume. There's something. It speaks volumes. It makes your mind think. But how true it is. No God, no peace. You know God, you know peace. Amen? That's the way it works in our hearts, in our lives. The title of the message this evening is An Answer of Peace. Genesis 41, 15 and verse 16, 15 and 16. It says, "And Joseph and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh and said, It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." In this account, we have a very troubled man because he didn't understand the dream. He dreamed the dream and it troubled him. He didn't understand what it meant. And so he sought for an answer for his life because he didn't have peace about his dream. So he went around to try to find someone who's able to interpret it. He came to Joseph and said that I have heard say that you can interpret dreams. Oh, I like Joseph's response. He said, "It is not in me, but it is God who's going to give you an answer of peace." It is God who's going to give us an answer of peace. It's not something we can fabricate of our own heart. It's not something that we can produce. Or for Joseph, he was saying, "I don't have the ability, Pharaoh, to interpret your dream, but it is God who's going to give you an answer." I want to tell you this evening, it's God who's going to give us an answer of peace. If there's any peace for us to have, it's going to come from God. I believe that if we want an answer of peace in our life, there are some things we need to follow up with, we need to follow through with. Now, even in when we talk about peace, this can go into many different areas of our life and experience. And I know this evening that I cannot exhaust this subject in 45 minutes. It's just not going to be possible. But I hope that we can grasp enough of this concept that is going to give us a desire to seek more, much more than what I'm going to be able to express here this evening. Joseph replied, "It is not in me, but God shall give an answer of peace." God shall give an answer of peace. If we're seeking for peace this evening, it's going to come from God. If we find ourselves in a crossroad of decisions and we want an answer of peace, it comes from God. This man was also in a crossroad. He didn't understand what this meant. But he got an answer of peace from God. As Christians, we encounter many decisions. We want to know what God wants us to do. And this evening, as I think of finding an answer of peace, I'm going to be speaking more about some of our practical daily walk of life and the desires of our heart to know what direction God wants us to go. And I know that this subject of peace is broad. In Philippians 4, it talks about an inner heart peace, which is very important. And I believe that as Christians, we also seek peaceful relationships. We seek peace among our friends and church and people. And all of this is a part of finding a relationship with God, that of peace. And it's an outworking of our inner peace for sure. Maybe we face a decision between two options. Both are good, but we just don't know which way to turn. Have you ever been there? I have. I find myself at that position numerous times. You know, there's a lot of good to be done, but we can't do it all. And so sometimes we have to decide between two options, between two things. We cry out to God, we ask Him, "What do you want me to do?" Maybe we're called to the mission field or into service somewhere or some other ministry, and we just can't decide if this is what the Lord wants us to do. We want an answer of peace. I think it's so important that we find an answer that we are at peace with. Maybe we're faced with some business decisions or family decisions, church decisions, and we want an answer. We want an answer of peace. The peace of God is beyond our understanding, and God is a God of peace. He wants to give it to us. Maybe we face trials and challenges in life that require a rapid response or requires some kind of response, and it's a difficult place to be in, and we want an answer from God. Maybe we're convicted about a certain area in our life, and we'd like to have an answer. We'd like to have a way forward. Maybe church leaders are faced with decisions in administration issues, or just do not know which way to decide. Maybe if we decide one way, some members will not be happy. But if we decide the other way, there'll be those who raise concern. And we want an answer of peace. We face these decisions, these choices in our life, and what are we going to do with them? While in Kenya, I was lead bishop in the Nakuru area. And there was church issues that would arise that would involve other people's lives. And I felt the weight, the heaviness of choices and decisions related to the church and how to move forward. And sometimes I didn't know which way to turn. And we would pray and seek the face of God and God to give us an answer of peace so we can find a way forward that is going to be right. I think it should be our desires of our heart. I remember sometimes at night, I would lay in my bed. I would pray. What do you want to happen in this situation? We look for the well-being of those involved. What would you want us to do, God? I can relate to different times. When I would get up in the morning, and it seemed like I had no sleep. But as the morning light dawned, there was an answer. It wasn't always easy. But as God gave strength to move forward in those issues and situations, you could see and feel the hand and power of God, an answer of peace. I believe that when we have an answer of peace in our hearts, it will give us the spiritual strength and vitality to do what is right, even in the midst of opposition. Joseph said, "It is not in me, but God shall give an answer of peace." I believe it's important, brothers and sisters and sinner friend, whoever we are, if there is turmoil in our hearts, we cry out to God until we have an answer. It may take some time, it may take weeks, but we need to cry out until we have an answer of peace in our life to move forward. This is very, very important in all of our life to seek an answer of peace from God, that comes from God. What steps do we take to find an answer of peace? Sometimes we seek counsel to find direction and to find a plan to follow. When we seek counsel, what kind of counsel are we seeking? Are we seeking guidelines for our life? Or are we seeking confirmation for our agenda? And I believe so many times it's important that we find ourselves broken and our self-life denied. So many times we search around and we try to find counsel from people who we think are going to agree with my idea so that I can pursue my agenda with peace. We need to seek an answer of peace from God Almighty, who gives us that strength to live it out. Am I ready to hear what God or the church or my parents have to say? Am I ready to obey and follow through, even if all odds seem to be against me? Can I trust God or the authorities, my pastors or my parents? Can I trust them in giving me a correct answer, an answer that is going to give me peace? Life is a journey, and the choices we make determine our results and finally our destiny. That's how important it is to find an answer that is right. Many people want to look ahead and the things they have done in the past that were not good, or even the sins that have been committed. They want to forget about them. They want to put them out of their minds and leave them that way without reckoning with them. There'll be a time when those sins we're not willing to confess, that we have not found a peaceful solution in our heart, there's going to be a time when that thing is going to stare us in the face. It's not going to die by burying it. We can bury our sins and we think that it's there, it's forgotten. Nobody knows about that problem. But inside our hearts and deep in our emotions, it's still there. And any time you bury something, it's going to resurrect. It will come forth. If we're not going to find an answer of peace in our life, in this life, in the day of judgment, it's going to be there. It will be there. An answer of peace that comes from God. The burden of this message this evening is centered on principles and right ways to find an answer of peace in our life. If you would, turn with me to Jeremiah 42. I know that this is another Old Testament account, but I am so blessed many times with some of these Old Testament accounts. And how that we can see, we can find ourselves feeling right with them in the experiences in which they have gone through. And they can teach us many things, many practical things in our life. And this evening I'm going to use this example to learn from and to draw from, to find principles and proper ways to find answers in our life, if we're willing. Jeremiah 42. I'm going to give you just a bit of a background as it leads up to this account. For 28 years, the people of Judah experienced constant warfare. During this time, Jeremiah preached an unpopular and seemingly unpatriotic message to the children of Judah. And his message had to do with, you know, the children of Judah during this time, it seemed like they were in battle against their enemies. They were trying to keep everyone outside. They were trying to protect Jerusalem. And Jeremiah, if you read the book of Jeremiah, he is often spoken of or known as being the weeping prophet. And when I read his writings and some of the examples and things he went through, I understand that man must have wept and wept many a tear for the people of Judah who were not willing to follow what God was telling them. Jeremiah's message to the people of Judah seems to come through that he wanted them to just lay, like we say sometimes, just lay off a bit. And don't worry so much about the Babylonian and all these enemies around us. And trust God. Cry out to God. He's going to keep you. In fact, he prophesied against Jerusalem. And he told Zedekiah that not to war against all these people outside. If you do, you're going to be captive. And so he didn't heed the warning of Jeremiah. And Zedekiah was taken. Babylon came in and they took them and they carried many people away into captivity. The Babylonians destroyed the city of Judah, which is Jerusalem. The Babylonians deported a large number of the Jews to Babylon, including Jeremiah. However, later, Jeremiah was released and he went back to the people that were remaining in Judah. There was a remnant that the Babylonians did not carry a captive, and they were those that were poor and didn't have lands and didn't have much. So they left those behind. And even the government at that time gave them vineyards and fields as they remained behind because they didn't have anything. And in the process of time, as time went on, we read how that the Babylonians appointed Gedaliah as governor in Judah over the remnant that remained. And as a result of that, many of the poor surrounding Jews and the people of Judah gravitated toward Jerusalem, and there they were under the government of Gedaliah. Later then, There was an officer named Ishmael who rose up against Gedaliah, and he assassinated him and took him out, and he killed him and many of his men. And there rose up another man by the name of Johanan who came and he went after Ishmael, and he was able to retrieve or to bring back those that Ishmael did not destroy. He was able to rescue those people and bring them back. And then Ishmael, he continued on when he saw his defeat. He went on to the Assyrians. Now we have verse 18 chapter 41 and verse 18. It says, because of the Chaldeans, for they were afraid of them, because Ishmael the son of Nethaniah had slain Gedaliah the son of Ahikam, whom the king of Babylon made governor in the land. Now we have to understand what had happened here, because Gedaliah was chosen by the Babylonian government or king to be governor over the remnant of these people. Now we have this fighting within, and their governor was destroyed, and Johanan came and he kind of by default took leadership, but he was not the appointed leader. So now these people were very afraid, because they knew for sure that if Babylon would find out that Gedaliah was slain, that they're going to come in and carry them away into captivity. And they knew that when they're carried into captivity, the Bible says here that there were three things that they were afraid of. They were afraid of the sword, they were afraid of famine, and they were afraid of the pestilence. And so as these people realized the predicament they were in, they were in a very difficult spot. As we say, they were between a rock and a hard spot, because they did not prove themselves to be able to manage their own affairs. And then it says in verse 18, they feared. It says, because of the Chaldeans, which were a part of the Babylonian system, as I understand it. So here they were. And as these people counseled together, they said, we're going to have to flee to Egypt. We want to get away from our circumstances. We want to get away from all the problems we have created and brought upon ourselves. We don't want famine. We don't want the sword. We're tired of fighting. And we don't want the pestilence. So they said, we're going to go to Egypt. Now we want to read in chapter 42. Then all the captains of the forces and Johanan the son of Kareah and Jezaniah and the son of Hoshaiah and all the people from the least even unto the greatest came near and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, let, we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant, for we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk, and the thing that we may do. Then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words. And it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you. Then they said to Jeremiah, the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us. If we do not even according to all the things for the which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we sent thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. As I read this portion of scripture and I saw how that they were seeking From this portion of Scripture, I want to draw five principles that we can draw from when we're trying to find an answer of peace in our lives. The first condition that lays a good foundation to find an answer of peace. I just explained to you the predicament these people were in. Sometimes we find ourselves in these similar situations. We look all around us and it seems like all odds are against us. It seems it doesn't matter which way we move, something is going to happen. And so they wanted an escape. They decided or wanted in their minds, they thought the best thing for us to do is we're going to go to Egypt to get out of it, get away from it. Have you ever felt that way? When you were in a tight spot, I'm just going to go somewhere else. I'm going to leave this problem and go somewhere else. But notice what these people did. First of all, they came to Jeremiah and they humbled themselves. They admitted they have a problem. Humility. Oh, we need humility if we want to find an answer for our life. We need to humble ourselves. We need to admit we have a problem. That so many times keeps us from success in our life because we're not willing to admit and agree that we have a problem. Humility. It took humility for them to come to Jeremiah. Remember, he was the prophet who before had prophesied against Jerusalem. And these people knew that he had prophesied against Jerusalem. They were very well acquainted with that. And so they went for help to Jeremiah. Secondly, in verse 2, it says, "Let us beseech thee." They were seeking godly counsel. Very, very important. If we want an answer of peace in our life, first of all, we need to recognize that there's a problem. We need to humble ourselves and agree that there's a problem. And even when we come to Christ and we want to confess our sins, we have to agree with our sin problem. Amen? We have to agree with it. God already knows our problem. God knew the problem here too. He knew they were in a bad situation. And God even realized why they were in a bad situation. Does God know why you're in a bad situation? Yes, He knows. He knows why we sin. If we want to have peace in our hearts, we have to agree with the sin. So they were seeking godly counsel. Thirdly, they requested for prayer. You know, this is something that is so important. When we try to lead someone to the Lord, prayer. You know, we can't do it of our own strength. But prayer, and bring it to God, it will bring an answer of peace. They requested for prayer. It says, "Pray for us unto the Lord thy God." Fourthly, they were committed. In verse 4 it says, "I have heard." Then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, "I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words. And it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you." And then they said in verse 5, "The Lord be a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not even according to all the things that for the which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us." They were committed. They said, We want to hear what you have to say. You go to God, you're our prophet, you're our leader. Can you help us? And they were committed. They said in verse 6, that is the fourth foundation of an answer of peace is commitment. We need commitment in our life. God is not going to accept a half-committed commitment. He wants all of our life. He wants to see commitment entirely. And so here they were. They were expressing this. They were expressing a commitment. And in verse 6, it says, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey. The fifth foundation is obedience. Very, very important. Obedience is simply that we follow through with what we have committed ourselves to. So we have, number one, we have humility. It's agreeing that with the problem. Secondly, we seek godly counsel. Thirdly, we request prayer. Fourthly, we are committed. And fifthly, we obey. Doesn't that sound like a good formula to find an answer of peace? I think it does. Verse 7. And it came to pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. Now let's get this. Here these people were in a tight spot. They were desperate and they knew that their life was on the clock, so to speak. They realized that when this message may reach the king, that they were in deep trouble and they wanted to be out of it before that happens. Jeremiah, he said, I will go and I will pray to God, and the message he gives me, I'm going to tell you in its entirety. I won't hold anything back from you. So he did. Jeremiah went. 10 days later, he came back and he told them. He said, okay, this is what the Lord told me. And I'm not going to read. I'm going to just paraphrase the rest of this chapter. This is what God told me. God told me, you are not to go to Egypt. And you are not going to face the sword. You will not be carried into captivity. You will not have famine. God is going to protect you. That was his message. What a tremendous message. Here they were, just realizing, knowing that the only escape they have for their life is to go to Egypt. And Jeremiah, 10 days later, comes back and he gives them this message. No, God wants you to stay right here. Jerusalem will not be destroyed. Things are going to be okay with you. Those things that you fear, both the sword, the famine, and the pestilence, they shall not come near you. God is going to protect you. What a message. You know, in our lives, that is the message God gives. We're in the midst of a crooked and perverse world. But God says, and he gives us an answer. Now, I think, as I look at this, this surely is an answer of peace for them, isn't it? They don't have to fight. They don't have to starve. They don't have to fear the pestilence. God is just going to take care of them right where they are. You don't have to move. You don't have to find another location. He's going to meet your need right where you are. Hallelujah. Chapter 43 and verse 1. Oh, Jeremiah also told them, okay, I want to tell you something, people. That if you decide, I have this answer of peace for you. And if you decide that no, we're not going to follow this, we're not going to obey, you decide that you're going to go to Egypt, then you are going to face the sword, You're going to face the pestilence and you're going to face famine. That's what he told him. But he said, if you stay right here, God's going to protect you. But if you go against my advice and against what God has told me, then the very things that you're afraid of is going to happen to you. All right. 43 in verse 1. And it came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people, all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words. Then spake Azariah, the son of Hoshaiah, and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. Is that you this evening? Is that you? Is that me? Thou speakest falsely. Verse 4. So Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces and all the people obeyed not the voice of the Lord to dwell in the land of Judah. How can it be? Here they had made an effort to find an answer of peace, to find a way out of their problems and out of the things they feared. And they received a direct answer from Prophet Jeremiah and told them very clearly how it was going to be. Just what in the world is the matter with the people of Judah? Now, before we criticize them, let's think about our own heart. Let's think about it. An answer of peace? What really was the core issue and failure of this group of people? What really was the core issue and failure? Four responses that will bring our own defeat, and we see them. It was their pride. You know, before they came to Jeremiah, it appears as though they had their minds so set to go to Egypt for safety. But it almost seems before they actually do that, they counseled Jeremiah, and they had a hope, possibly, they had a hope that Jeremiah would support their agenda. The steps they took to try to find an answer of peace was right. Would you agree with me in that? They were correct. They had the right idea. They were seeking for an answer of peace for their life. They had the right idea. But when the message came to them, here it was right there. They could have peace. And when they counseled together, they said, you speak falsely. God didn't tell you that. How can that be? You know, Jeremiah, that if the king of Babylon finds out what has happened, there's going to be no chance for us. Isn't that the way the devil works? He comes in and he says, oh, if you confess that sin, you know that ain't going to. Those people are going to despise you. They're going to think ill of you. They're going to think what an ugly person you are. Jeremiah said, no, don't escape it. Stay right here. God is going to help you. God is going to help you. All those things that you feared are not going to happen to you. But if you are going to disobey, then all of those things that you fear are going to happen to you in Egypt. You continue to read from Jeremiah 43, you will find that their problems were multiplied and magnified in Egypt. And Jeremiah told them that there is not going to be a solitary soul of you who is going to see Jerusalem again. That's what he told them. If we miss that opportunity of a peaceful answer to our life's problems and in our heart, there is absolutely no hope of return. Now, I want to clarify that statement, though. In this case, that prophecy was against them because of their choice. We are living in the day of grace. But it is very dangerous for us to think that we can take our own way. I believe that the biggest problem these people had in really accepting and finding and having that answer of peace in their life was their own agenda. Their own agenda. You think about that in your own heart. How many times is my big old self-life the biggest problem I have? And that old self-life is simply my agenda. It's my agenda. You know, in Africa, they have what they call the Big Five. Some of you may know about that, and especially those who have been to Africa. And even though that these creatures, the Big Five, it is the elephant and the lion and the leopard and the rhino and the buffalo, they are very different in character. They are very different in size. They are different in color. They are different in their behavior. But the reason they are called the Big Five, they have one thing in common. They have one thing in common. And that thing is to kill. If you study those animals, you will find that if you cross their path and you somehow scare them or something like of that nature, and they come to attack, they have no mercy at all. Their aim is to destroy. Some time ago, I preached a message on the Big Five. I depicted everyone. I studied the characteristics of these animals. And the elephant is probably one of our biggest enemies. The elephant, his character, he has a very good memory. Even I'm told that if you disgruntle an elephant for years and years after, he will remember you, and he will take opportunity to put away with you if he has that chance. Have you ever heard of those kind of stories about the zoo? I have. And an elephant is such a character. He's so big that it doesn't matter whatever is in his path, he's going to destroy it. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's trees, if it's you, if it's houses, whatever is in his power, that's what he does. I liken the elephant to our self-life. You know, that is the way our self-life is. Sometimes we are so big in ourself. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks or says. We want our way. We need to get rid of that elephant in our life. These people right here, they had that elephant in their life. You know, I don't know why these people were so foolish. Just years prior to this, when Jeremiah prophesied against Zedekiah, to Zedekiah the king, prophesied against Jerusalem, against Judah, and they disobeyed. They knew what happened. And here they're doing it again. Oh, self-life. We need to get rid of it. That thing needs to die. Do you want peace in your heart? Do you want an answer of peace? That's the question we really need to ask ourselves. Do I want peace? Here we have it. We have the formula to get it. There are many people who follow this formula to get it. They want it. They want it. They may make some response to it. But when it comes down to it, I can't see it work. Can't see it work. No, I see it work. That old self has to go. Jesus said, if any man wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Hebrews 9 and verse 27. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. The people of Judah, they found out the after this. Here this evening, we have an opportunity to escape the after this. Did you know that? As long as we have life in our hearts, in our lives, we have an appointment. And we have an appointment. We're not going to be late. It's going to come. It will be there. We have an appointment of death. And after this, the judgment. The judgment. We will never escape the judgment of God, but we can escape the condemnation. God has great plans for our life. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, it says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Again, this is one of Jeremiah's quotes. Sometimes when I study Jeremiah and I look at some of his words and some of the things he went through, it causes me to weep. But here he says, God speaking through Jeremiah, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. To you, to give to you an expected end. If we're struggling with this battle in our hearts, we're seeking for peace in our life, and we're struggling with the forces of darkness who's trying to cause us not to break and to come down with ourselves. These are the words that Jeremiah gave to the people of Judah, and these are the words for us even today. For I know the thoughts that I think. This is God speaking. I know what I'm thinking towards you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. That's God. Oh, hallelujah. I bless the Lord for that. How can it be any better? How can it be any better? Then he goes on to say, to give you an expected end. What do you expect at the end? We need to get real with our life. We need to think about those things. Many times in our life, we say, yes, I want to be at point B. I want to get there. That is the expected end. But oh, to get there. These people, they wanted an expected end, a good end. Isaiah 30 and verse 21. Your ears shall hear a word from behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. That is the voice of God. I believe that the Spirit of God is ministering to each and every one of us here. I believe the Spirit of God is talking to you now. And He is saying in His voice, in His Spirit, this is the way. This is the way. And every time that still small voice speaks to us and He says, this is the way, we have a choice. We have a choice. Here it says, walk ye in it, whether ye turn to the right hand or to the left, walk in it. We need to heed that voice, that Spirit. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our God and Father, as we bow our hearts and our heads before you this evening, we know that you have good thoughts toward us. You have thoughts of peace and not of evil. You have thoughts of bringing us in a good way and to give us peaceful hearts. Whether it is in weighty decisions that we have to make, whether it is in relationships or in adversity, or whether it is in many other areas of our life. Maybe it is even in our decision of serving Christ. Lord, you have good thoughts toward us. You have brought this message to us because you were thinking good. We know that your scripture teaches us that you desire everyone to come to repentance and to come in grips with their own need and to learn of you. This evening we pray that your Spirit may work mightily in our lives and our hearts. Move among the midst this evening. And if there's someone here who is seeking an answer and they want an answer of peace, grant them the strength to recognize it, to admit it, seek counsel, ask for prayer, be committed, and obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This evening I'm going to again ask for an invitation hymn, song. If there is someone here, you know that in your heart something isn't the way you're not resting. You're not settled. Something is troubling you. Find an answer of peace. Prophet Jeremiah, he came through so clear with his message. There was no doubt. Every stone was overturned, so to speak. But their own agenda kept them from having peace. Is that you this evening? Remember, no God, no peace. If you know God, you will know peace. Hallelujah.